Hello and welcome. If you've ever held a mysterious object, a bell, a ledger, a quilt, a radio, and wondered, is this real? Is the story true? This is for you. After years helping schools and local historical societies, I want you to leave thinking, I can do this, and I can do it responsibly. Why does local history feel messy? Because most items arrive as family lore, ag finds, or yard sale treasures with big stories and little paperwork. And in the U.S., we carry public trust. Tight budgets, school timelines, and serious laws like NAGPRA when Native items may be involved. Here's the good news. You don't need a lab to do this right. Most solid authentications rely on documentation, local records, and comparison. Then, only when needed, targeted testing. Picture a pyramid. The base is local knowledge, paperwork, oral histories, and comparison to known examples. The narrow top is science. Lab work you use sparingly when stakes are high or the story won't settle. In major collections, most decisions lean on documents and comparative analysis, not lab results. Your notebook, camera, and library card are powerful tools. What does authenticating mean? Three linked questions. What is it? How old is it? Is the story true? They connect. If a 1920s radio has transistors, post-World War II tech, you've answered what it is and how old. If a Civil War diary is in ballpoint ink, 1950s and later, the story needs a rewrite. Artifacts live inside technological and cultural systems. When parts don't match the era, that mismatch is your clue. Here's the field-tested workflow I use anywhere, from fourth-grade classrooms to county archives. Step one, intake and stabilization. Create a clean start. The biggest losses happen the first day, when eager hands clean, separate parts, or discard irrelevant packaging. Slow down. Make a simple custody note. Who brought it, how you received it, what they say it is, and contact info. Take photos from all angles before touching anything. A phone, steady light, and a white poster board are enough. Get close-ups of maker's marks, handwritten notes, seams, wear patterns. Scratches and smudges often testify best. Handle gently. Use nitrile gloves for photos, metals, and anything that picks up oils. If you smell mothballs, pesticides, or see mold, isolate the item and consult someone trained in collections care. Remember, some older taxidermy and textiles were treated with arsenic or mercury. Respect the unknown. Assign a unique ID, even a temporary number, and label reversibly so separated pieces can reunite. Store away from direct sunlight, heaters, damp basements, and big humidity swings. If you'd be comfortable spending a day there, your artifact probably will be too. Quick story. A volunteer almost wiped away a fate mark on the back of a Civil War era photograph. Our before photos revealed it, a studio stamp that dated the image. We caught it because we photographed first. Day saved. Step two, build a provenance timeline, the object's biography from creation to today. Start with the donor or lender's story. Let them tell it straight through without interruption. People often share a key name or place early on that vanishes under questions. Then ask focused follow-ups. Who owned it, in order? Where did it live? Was it used in a business, church, or school? How did it travel? Inheritance? Sale? Pulled from a building after a fire? Who else can vouch for parts of the story? Any photos showing it in use? Now verify with local sources. U.S. local history is a superpower. Search newspapers via Chronicling America or your library's archives for ads, event coverage, and photos. Use city directories and Sanborn fire insurance maps to match people to addresses and building uses. Check deeds and tax records to tie families to places over time. School board minutes, PTA records, and church registers can confirm bells, ledgers, trophies, and timelines. Often three anchors, a photo, a directory entry, a deed, transform a fuzzy anecdote into a sturdy timeline. Bonus, strong provenance doesn't just prove authenticity. It boosts value by tying objects to people, places, and events your community recognizes. Step 3, material and comparative analysis. Close looking before lab work. Materials and techniques speak their time. Are nails hand-forged or machine-made? Is thread, cotton, or synthetic? Do fonts, stitching, fasteners, and finishes fit the claimed period? Compare what you see to known examples in museum catalogs, historic photos, Sears catalogs, patents, and reputable online collections. You're spotting patterns. If 90% looks right and one element screams modern, pause. Maybe it's a later repair. Maybe the object is later than believed. Or maybe the story's off. This is a great teaching moment. Invite students to play Spot the Anachronism. Once tuned in, they'll surprise you. Step 4. Escalation, science and outside experts when needed. Let questions drive tests, not the other way around. If the story hinges on whether ink is period or ballpoint, that's testable. If a quilt's dyes seem unusual, a small fiber analysis might be worth it. Call your state museum, a university lab, or a conservator before spending money. Often a subject specialist, a radio historian, textile conservator, or firearms expert can answer more in a conversation than an expensive broad test. And remember, most decisions won't need a lab. That's not cutting corners. That's good practice. We have to talk ethics, not as an add-on, but as the framework. If an item may be connected to Native American communities, especially human remains, funerary objects, or sacred items, stock and consult. Laws like NAGPRA exist for a reason. Your state museum or tribal historic preservation office can guide next steps. Treat community collections as a public trust. Keep clear records, respect donor agreements, and credit the people whose memories and documents help you. If an oral history informs your conclusions, name the storyteller in your notes and, when appropriate, on labels. Avoid acquiring items you suspect were taken from archaeological sites or stolen from institutions. The stories we tell should honor people, not erase them. Notice the theme. This work is as much about people as objects. The grandmother's shoebox photos, the church register entry, the teenager who remembers when the school trophy case was replaced? These voices make artifacts legible. Invite your community in, and you don't just authenticate. You build trust and shared stewardship. What does success look like? A lean folder or digital record with your intake form, clear photos, a concise timeline, a short interpretation that answers, what is it? How old is it? Is the story true? It looks like a label that credits the family who loaned it and the librarian who found the 1932 ad that clinched the date. It looks like an object stored safely, ready to teach not just what happened, but how we know. A few final reminders. Document before you touch. Let the donor tell the story straight through. Then build a timeline you can test. Use local records. They're your strongest, cheapest tools. Look closely and compare to known examples. Bring in science only when the question demands it. Let ethics guide every decision, especially with culturally sensitive items. Be comfortable saying, "We're still investigating." Uncertainty is honest and models great historical thinking. If you want the nitty-gritty, sample forms, checklists, sources for maps and directories, and community engagement ideas, the written guide has you covered. But even without it, you've got this. With care, curiosity, and respect, you can tell whether that bell rang in your town's old schoolhouse, whether that ledger tracked a Main Street business, whether that radio really played the news your grandparents heard. Get it right, and you're not just authenticating an object. You're anchoring a story to the place and people you serve. Thanks for spending this time with me. I can't wait to hear what you and your community discover next.